light to you all. Welcome to Luna Lights Psychic Radio. Join me as I share my journey from Spanish teacher to TV psychic and spiritual coach. My name is Luna and I am a TV psychic and spiritual coach. That's where I am now. Let me share with you how I got here. So, about 7 years ago, I was a Spanish teacher. I had my own Spanish school and I was teaching along with my five staff, or was it six staff? It was ongoing. We were teaching children aged from 2 to 12. So that was nursery and preschool children all the way up to the high end of primary school. And I had we had about 150 children and we taught 6 days a week. So we taught in nurseries, we taught in after school clubs, and we had Saturday morning classes as well. It was very, very full on. And I was running the show, basically. It was my business and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I worked in term time only. It fitted very well with my son and his schedule. He was at the time when I had the Spanish school, he had just started school. So he was in nursery to begin with. And then he was in the first couple of years of primary school. And it was brilliant. Didn't work the school holidays, was off when he was off, was working when he was at school. I had a couple of classes a week in his school. And I had classes all over the city that I live in, and it was wonderful. I absolutely loved it. It was so enjoyable to watch children, particularly my favorite classes were the nursery classes. I taught a lot of nursery classes and I love teaching the little ones, the sort of 2, 3, 4, 5 year olds, teaching them different songs. I did a lot of teaching through songs, and it was really, really enjoyable. I got such a lot from it. I was very, very fulfilled and I really loved it. However, there were a lot of difficulties that I experienced while running this business. And the biggest problem I had was that I wanted to, the sort of business plan that I had was to teach in schools and after school clubs was what I had. Now, the classes themselves were very successful and the children received the classes very well and the parents were very happy. However, the council was a bit of a thorn in my side. And the way they operated their policy was that you had to apply to them to teach in the school after school. Fair enough, no problem. Applied for that, and then they said there's going to be a charge to use the classroom. Absolutely fine, no problem at all. Worked in other council venues, and that was absolutely fine. However, their charge was far more, and I mean like triple the price of working in any other council venue. So I was doing quite a lot of classes in leisure centres, council leisure centres, you know, where you have the gym and the swimming pool, and they were very reasonably priced, and that was absolutely fine. Now, the council were charging three times as much to use a classroom. And my kind of main gripe with this was that it made it, if I was to incorporate the prices that they wanted me to charge into the price that the parents were paying, it kind of took me way out of what would be considered as affordable for an after school club. It's definitely not what I would pay. And it didn't sit very well with me. That the classrooms were open anyway, the lights were on anyway, cleaners were going in and out of the rooms, and it was a bit of a difficult situation, but I battled on. I soldiered on because I believed so much in children being able to speak a second language, and in Spanish, of course, is one of the top three languages in the world. So if your child can speak Spanish and English, then they can communicate with 500 million people. What an advantage that is. And it was something that the schools were not, at this time, were not offering in my local area. So I battled on. 3 years I battled on. And during that time, I had a small victory in that I was able to apply for a special kind of license that they had, which allowed me to pay a flat rate. for the price of the classrooms. And that was brilliant, or so I thought. Until what they told me, the council, was that they had some sort of power. Never really understood this, but to cap the amount that I was able to charge. So ultimately, I was then not able to charge the parents the amount that I had been paying, that they had been paying before, previously. And I had this reduced rate, but ultimately, I was no better off. The business was still no better off. So the business was in a really difficult situation where it covered its costs. So it paid its venues, it paid for materials, and it paid the teachers. But it wasn't paying me. And I got to a point with the business where I knew that actually it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. I was being controlled by an authority that didn't really make any, were making decisions over my life that I just didn't make any sense. And despite trying to have various meetings with the council to discuss this, I was poo-pooed. So I had this very successful business. It had won, it was selected, actually, we didn't win, but we were selected for best primary after school club, which was a great honour. And I had all these children and I had all these staff. And ultimately, I just had to let it go. That was the plan. So I knew that this was going to happen. I knew that I was going to have to pick a date and ultimately stop providing Spanish lessons for the children. So I knew that my life was about to change significantly. So I thought to myself, what am I going to do here? I've got about a term left. What am I going to do? So I thought to myself, right, I'm just going to do something that I really fancy doing. What do I actually fancy doing? And before I'd had the Spanish school, I had done a diploma. I'd done a diploma in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So I thought to myself, poof, I can probably still get some funding, actually, because I've still got the business. Let's see what I can do while I'm still in this relatively advantageous position. So I did that. I got funding to do my NLP practitioner course. Now, NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. I'll go into that a little bit more later. But I got the funding and I went away and I did this course. Wow. Well, I can tell you that self-development on a public platform will never be something that I like doing. I absolutely hated that side of it. And it is that practitioner course is all about pulling you apart. And it pulled me apart in so many different ways. And I basically had to sort of piece myself back together. And I loved it. I did love it and I embraced it. But geez, oh, that was a tough course to do. And then at the end of it, I didn't pass. I passed almost all of the modules, but there was one in particular that they didn't let me pass. And it was about observing other people's models of the world. Well, that was an interesting situation. So I had to go back and I had to do one day with the next group of NLP practitioners to really prove that I could observe other people's models of the world. So I did eventually qualify as an NLP practitioner. But by this point, the shine had gone from being a coach, from being an NLP practitioner. So here I am now with this qualification that I had really, really wanted, but it's now left a sour taste in my mouth. And no Spanish business. So what am I going to do? And I needed a job. You know, I was a single mum. I had bills to pay and I needed a job. So I thought to myself, I absolutely do not want to do this NLP stuff. This is not for me. I wasn't happy with the way things had turned out and it hadn't turned out the way I had wanted it to. So I started to really think about what I wanted to do. And I wanted to help people. I love helping people. It is something that I've always enjoyed doing, no matter what way I'm helping people, whether it was little children, teaching them Spanish, or helping people with themselves and their own lives. I've always enjoyed helping people. My dad actually thought that I should have been a nurse. And, how life different would have been if I had, but I'm not. So I started to look and kind of, what am I going to do? And I felt really trapped, to be honest, because I needed something that was flexible because I could only work in school hours. So here I am, trapped, got this qualification, but the whole thing's left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, and I didn't really know what to do with myself. So I started to just scour the internet, did a lot of searches, and it was really not a brilliant selection or a lot of options that I found. A lot of things that I felt I couldn't really do or didn't apply to me or weren't in school hours or just there seemed to be a lot of no's. So I kept searching. And then I started to see things about spiritual coaching. And I thought, what does that actually mean? I'm a coach. I'm now qualified as a coach. Don't think I want to teach people about NLP or any of the things to do with that. But what's a spiritual coach? So I kind of started looking into this spiritual coaching. And I realized that ultimately it was all seemed to be about spirituality, and a lot of it was about tarot and reading cards and giving people readings. So I thought, I wonder if I could do that. I wonder if I could maybe kind of fly along in the seat of my pants for a wee while, given that I am a coach. I've got that bit down. And NLP is really a lot of understanding about human behavior. Don't know anything about tarot cards, though. Not a thing. I've never had a reading in my life. I don't know anything about that. So I thought to myself, what can I do here? So I started to look into it a little bit more, and I thought to myself, right, what have I got? I've got this coaching qualification, and I'm also a really big believer in the law of attraction, something that had come to me years before when my son was an infant. I started to read that sort of very well-known book now by Rhonda Byrne, The Secret, and the follow-up books from that, The Power and the Hero. And I was, you know, really, really big believer in the law of attraction. And I had applied it to my own life, actually, not long after I split with my son's father. And I had managed to manifest a few things in my life, particularly around the house that I'm still living in to this date. I'd manifested that. And I'd used this law of attraction quite a few times. So I thought, right, okay, so I've got the coaching qualification, and I understand the law of attraction, and I've applied it to my life, and it has worked for me. So What about this tarot card thing? Don't know anything about that. So, as luck would have it, I had a friend who was actually really, really big into angel cards. And I said to her, would you spend a bit of time with me, explain how all of this works, and ultimately teach me how to use the cards? So she did. And it seemed fairly self-explanatory to me. There's a structure to it. This is how you begin a reading. This is how you shuffle the cards. This is how you clear the energy when you're finished a reading. And this is how you read them. And these are the different types of spreads. And, you know, the angel tarot cards have got all the explanations written on the cards. So I thought, it can't be that hard. And I don't have to memorize them. There's like 72 cards in a deck or 76 cards in a deck. Don't need to memorize them because I've got them right here in front of me. Okay, so let's try this bit. So then I was like, right, okay, I'm feeling a little bit more resourceful now. Let's see what I can do with this. Let's see if I can get myself a spiritual coaching job. So I started to look into this a bit more, and I discovered that actually I had the right sort of tools to become a telephone psychic, because that's ultimately what you needed. You needed to know how to use a deck of cards, and you needed to have a bit of spirituality around you. And I thought, right, okay, I can do this. I understand about the law of attraction. I've got a coaching qualification. I know how to speak to people. I love helping people. Let's see what happens here. So, you know, really still a little bit uncertain, but it was flexible and it was work from home. And while I wasn't really sure what was going to happen, I thought to myself, right, I'm just going to go for it. And I remember that Richard Branson, he's somebody that I follow, and I've read a lot of his books. And one of the things that he says is that when somebody gives you an opportunity, if you don't know how to do it, you say yes and then learn how to do it later. So I thought, yeah, pretty much that's how it's going to go. And in lots of ways, that's what I've done a lot of times in my life. Just say yes. I'm not risk averse. So say yes, and then kind of put the plan into place thereafter. So that's what I did. And you had to do a test reading for this company that I applied for. So I thought, right, okay, let's give this a go. Now, let me just tell you how basic this was. I did not even own a set of cards. I did not even own a set of cards. I was using a free deck online that you could get, and you pressed a button and it shuffled cards and up came some cards. And I basically used this as a way to give this free test reading. So that's what I did. And I couldn't believe it when they said that I got the job. Once I'd done this test reading and they were like, yep, you've got the job. And I was like, oh my goodness me, this is crazy, but this is working out. Maybe this is the law of attraction, who knows? So I began giving angel tarot card readings over the phone from the comfort of my home while my son was at school. And I remember my first reading as well, I thought it was all about the cards. I really, really did. I thought it was all about the cards. So I did this kind of the structured plan that I've got about this is how you begin a reading, and this is what I did. So I started reading the cards to this client, and explaining what they meant and how it related to her. And then she said to me, "Oh, do you just read the cards, or can you tell me a bit about what this particular gentleman is thinking?" And I thought, "Oh, okay." So I thought to myself, right, okay, let's have a little think about this. How am I going to approach this? But of course, it's on the phone, so you haven't got time to really think. You've got to think on your feet. You've got to think fast. And I started seeing whatever I felt was relevant to the situation. And she was really pleased. And lo and behold, I couldn't quite believe it. You could have knocked me down with a feather. I got a testimonial for that. And she was really pleased with the reading. And I thought, poof, this is, I might be onto something here. But I still didn't believe that I had what would be considered a psychic ability. And what is a psychic ability anyway? So I carried on and I kept logging on and I got more experience and I did lots of readings, and the hold time, which is how long you keep a caller on the phone for, started getting longer and longer and longer. And I thought, okay, maybe I am onto something here. And the testimonials were coming in and they were all positive. And I thought, this is great. This is good. And then I started to, you know, it was like my intuition was getting heightened, or something that I couldn't quite put my finger on was happening. And I was beginning to really understand that I maybe did have a bit of a psychic ability, because I would get these kind of feelings. I was like, this is going to happen today, or this person is going to phone me today, or it was like predictions. I was able to predict things. When people were asking me questions on the phone line, I was like, I would just say to them, this is how it's going to be. And people would come back to me and give me feedback, and they're like, you were right. This did happen. And so now I want to ask you about this. And this is how I began to build up regular clients. I logged on more. I got more experience. And that is really how I went from being a Spanish teacher to becoming a psychic and a spiritual coach. So that's a little bit about me and how I work, or more likely how the beginning of my journey rather than how I work. I will go into explaining that to you on a sort of different day. But that's the kind of the real bare bones of how I went from being a Spanish teacher to being a psychic. I have got lots and lots to share with you over the coming episodes. I will be explaining to you how I went from being a psychic working on the phone lines to being a TV psychic and a spiritual coach, but that is in episodes to come. So I wish you all lots of love and light, and I shall be back again soon for episode 2. Bye-bye.